Hey everyone, welcome to episode 29 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. And this week, it's a tribute to the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. As you know, as a wrestling fan, even non-wrestling fans knew it. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, died last week at the age of 69. And Chad and I spent probably about 30 minutes or so sharing some of our fondest memories of the American Dream. He was a red-hot babyface in World Championship Wrestling, or National Wrestling Alliance, actually, at the time when Chad and I both started watching wrestling. And, of course, that was in the mid-80s. And then his run in WWF, we talk about that as well. And I'm recording this in two sections because I had a friend from high school who had commented on my blog post about Dusty Rhodes and his death, and shared her experience about meeting him. And I was hoping to have her on the show, but things didn't work out. But I do want to read to you what she said, because to me, it kind of defined what Dusty did as a performer, how he touched lives, and how a lot of the men and women who are involved in the world of professional wrestling touch the lives of their fans. Now, this is a friend of mine, as I said, from high school. Her name was Michelle, or is Michelle, and she says, "I am a huge wrestling fan and a huge Dusty Rhodes fan. I was honored to meet the man several years ago and able to shake his hand. One of the nicest people that I have ever met in my life. When I shook his hand, which was four times the size of mine, I started crying. He said, 'Honey,'" — I'm not going to do the voice here — "'he said, 'Honey, I know I'm not pretty, but I didn't think I was that bad.' This is what I told him: 'I was raised by my great-grandparents, and one of my fondest memories is getting up on Sunday morning and walking to the corner drugstore with my grandpa to get the Sunday paper. I was allowed to get a candy bar and ate it while I watched Wrestling at the Chase and listened to my grandpa scream at the TV, "Bust his head, Dusty, bust his head. And you remind me of my grandpa.' He started crying too. I hope my grandpa gets to shake Dusty's hand like I did. Rest in peace, Dream, and Grandpa McIntyre." So, Michelle, thanks for sharing those comments on our blog post at my123cents.com. And, you know, that Chad and I get into it more about, you know, how Dusty was kind of every man, and how fans just, you know, identified with him and were able to embrace him. And obviously Dusty, I don't know the circumstances of the meeting with my friend Michelle, but it obviously made a huge impact on her when that happened. Now, I do want to tell you guys that as you listen to Chad and my conversation, I do make a couple of mistakes, and I want to correct those right now. I referred to the tag team that he and Dirty Dick Murdoch formed back way back when they first started as the — I think I called them the West Texas Outlaws or the West Texas Rednecks, which was the WCW thing, totally separate. Dusty and Dick Murdoch were the Texas Outlaws. I apologize for that. And then also, I referred to Dusty wrestling Ravishing Rick Rude on Saturday night's main event. That did happen. I thought it was for the Intercontinental Championship, but Rude had already lost the title back to the Warrior well before this match took place between Dusty and Rude, so there were no titles on the line. It happened on Saturday night's main event, and I actually rewatched that on the WWE Network, so you can check that out as well. So, as always, thanks for listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and be sure to check us out over at my123cents.com or the other shows at jitterymonkey.com.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
All righty, everyone. Chad is joining me now to talk more about some of his memories and thoughts we're going to share on the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Chad, as always, thanks for joining us from parts unknown.
Thanks for having me. You know, I'm always sad when I can't make the podcast, and then I listen to it, and just makes me sad, so I stopped listening.
Thanks for your support there, buddy. Share some of your thoughts or favorite memories of Dusty Rhodes.
First I want to just go back into, I guess, the death of Dusty. And the way that I found out was this annoying thing that Twitter does, where, you know, if you have the app on your phone, if more than one person tweets about the same subject, it will pop up and tell you, you know, Kevin Huntsberger and so-and-so are tweeting about this and this. And usually it's mundane things that I have no interest in. But the other day it popped up and it was Joey Styles and a couple other people were tweeting, RIP Dusty. And I was like, what? You know, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so I had to scour the interwebs for a bit to find the news. And then being at work, and, you know, I work for a, well, let me rephrase it. I work at a celebrity news organization, and we get their, every time the story goes up on the website, we get an email about it. And so I got back-to-back emails because they had updated information with the story of Dusty's passing. And it was just, I think, it was probably one of the most shocking wrestling deaths. Even though, you know, Dusty has looked kind of, I don't want to say frail, but Dusty's obviously lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
In the last year or so. And so, like, the last time he was on WWE TV with the whole Gold Dust, Stardust feud, you kind of wonder, like, is something wrong with him? But he still didn't expect it. And we've been lucky in the wrestling community not to have a lot. You know, there for a while, it was like a wrestling death almost like every 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a younger guy. But, you know, we've been fortunate enough that that's kind of hopefully gone by the wayside. So, yeah, the shock factor of Dusty's passing was pretty, I don't want to say traumatic, but it was probably the most hard-hitting wrestling death since Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I would agree. I was in an acupuncture appointment and had left my phone in the car. I was in there right around 45 minutes, and I came back and there was the text for, that was actually how I found out, was the text that you had sent me. So, you know, it was one of those things that at first I didn't know if you were ribbing me or what. And I, you know, I immediately then hopped on social media waiting for your response, and, you know, it was everywhere. So, and that's, I guess, kind of the benefit of social media in some ways, is that there's that sense of immediacy that we learn these things. But it was definitely, like you said, probably not since the Ultimate Warrior, probably one of the more shocking, because, you know, it's the American dream. You know, these guys are legends, they're icons, and you think that they are, going to live forever. And of course, their memories will obviously, or their legacies will last forever. But definitely a shock learning that about Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, because, you know, Dusty, you don't really hear, like, any of the substance abuse problems that other wrestlers that have died have suffered from. And there was no reports, like, you know, that he was in bad health or anything. So, yeah, just, and even when the cause of death actually, you know, kind of came out, where it was just he had fallen. And I still don't know all the details. Like, did he fall and hit his head? Did he, you know, what exactly happened? So, yeah, it's just one of those.
Well, the last thing I read was it was kidney failure. The impression I got was he had fallen on Wednesday and was, mm-hmm, in the hospital and had some other complications. And okay, then he had passed away sometime Thursday, because it said, and even the tweets, and I don't know where all the family is located throughout the country, but it seemed like Cody and Dustin and Dakota, you know, that's Dustin and Terry's daughter, Eden, who is Cody's wife, they were all there when he passed. So I don't know if they knew that there was going to be, you know, that there was something dire going on with the fall, and that just kind of sped the process up, or what exactly happened.
I wonder if they all live, you know, down in the Orlando area due to Dusty's involvement with NXT, and just, you know, Dusty making his name down in Florida, in the Florida region, and then Eden by working with NXT.
Yeah.
And due to, you know, tax laws down in Florida, it seems to be a big hotbed of wrestling wrestlers' locations. So they may all just be right in that area.
And was Dusty still doing NXT work? Was he still a part of the... I know he was like the head guy there for a bit, wasn't he?
I think so. I think he probably stayed in a mentor role. I don't know if he had any... like if he was training or anything, but I think I want to say I remember reading something about Dusty helping with promos,
yes,
that type of stuff. Could be completely wrong, but given that, you know, he is one of the best in the business, it would make sense for him to help guys with that.
And speaking of that, you know, the post that Sami Zayn made the other night, you know, reminiscing and remembering that, that's kind of where he and Dusty hit it off, was in promo class, if you will, if you will, as Dusty would say. And that was the other thing about Dusty that I love too, is I listen to a lot of other wrestling podcasts, Jim Ross, Stone Cold Steve Austin's, Chris Jericho's, just a few of them that I, and Ric Flair's. And whenever anyone is on that show and tells a Dusty Rhodes story, and Dusty Rhodes is the only one they do this with, they do the voice, which is obviously, you know, the lisp, and it's so easy to imitate, I guess.
Yeah, and it's just, it's one of those defining characteristics where it's kind of like whenever, you know, someone talks about Ric Flair, you always work in a woo,
mm-hmm,
because that's just, it's the trademark. It's, and because his voice was so unique, so memorable, you know, he wasn't, like a lot of guys were just kind of playing no nonsense, just straightforward talking. But Dusty had that lisp and the icky wheel and my belly willy and just all these.
We gonna get funky like a monkey. I mean, there are so many trademarks. It's kind of like, I would say Dusty's voice and Macho Man Randy Savage voice, you know, those two distinct, that, you know, often imitated, never duplicated, as Captain Lou Albano used to say. But what do you remember? What are some of your early memories? Because we both started watching wrestling, I think, around the same time. What are some of your early memories of the American Dream?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this because I'm just trying to remember, like, all the Dusty's. And my thing was trying to remember if I ever actually saw Dusty live.
Yeah.
And I know I definitely didn't see him wrestle, but just in any type of capacity. And I think I would be hard pressed. I would have to go back through every single segment of every show that I've ever seen live to even remember that. But earliest memories would be, you know, the Jim Crockett promotion. Mm-hmm. And I think probably the Road Warriors taking the spike and, you know, gouging it into Dusty's eye. And then, just all those, all that early mid 80s. I mean, everything involved in that time period.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I also racked my brain to remember if I had ever seen Dusty live. And when I was a kid, when I first started watching wrestling, I went to two NWA house shows, both headlined by Ric Flair, but Dusty was not on either one of those cards. And then by the time he had gone to the WWF in 89, I went through a dry spell of going to house shows. So I completely missed the live Dusty experience, although we saw him, you know, do some Hall of Fame inductions during our WrestleMania trips. But beyond that, I don't think he had ever been at a show that I had been at. But you bring up the Road Warrior thing. It seemed like Dusty Rhodes was kind of like the Hulk Hogan of the NWA, in that he was probably the company's top baby face at any given time. Mm-hmm. And he always seemed to, his friends always seemed to turn on him. You know, the Road Warriors did that with the Spike. Barry Windham joined the Four Horsemen. Ronnie Garvin at the Great American Bash in 88, you know, sucker punched him and helped Barry Windham retain the United States heavyweight title. It was those kinds of, you know, everybody loved Dusty, but then, you know, his friends would always seem to, you know, I think the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez eventually turned on him. So, you know, he was one of those characters that he was every man, and he was the common man as he went on to WWF. But the Hard Times promo, I had just started watching wrestling when that came out during or leading up to Starrcade 85. And that match with Ric Flair for the title, and Smoke and Joe Frazier was the ref. Of course, I was, you know, very young back then. We didn't get, we had cable, but we didn't get the pay-per-view capability. So I never saw Starrcade, but I remember watching the lead-up and the, you know, the promos and the work that came in, went into that, and of course the recap. So I would say that Hard Times is probably his most memorable and most to this day. I mean, I can't tell you how many people posted that Hard Times promo on social media over the last couple of days.
Yeah, going off of the promo, kind of segue a little bit. Did you watch the Austin podcast with Paul Heyman?
I have not seen that yet. No.
Okay, if memory serves me, I believe Heyman talked about like one of his first promos that he did in WCW. And he went out and rambled for 4 or 5 minutes, and by all accounts, it sounded like an entertaining promo, but when he was done, and when Dusty came up to him, he's like, and I'm not going to do the Dusty voice, but he's like, yeah, that was a good promo, but where's the money? Like, you didn't sell the Heyman didn't sell the show. He just talked about, like, how great he was or how great the guys he was managing were, and that was the thing with Dusty. Like, he could sell Ice Cube to an Eskimo.
Mm-hmm.
He could just make you, you know, feel like you had to see whatever match he was involved with or whatever show was coming up. And I think that is, you know, going back to Dusty working with guys on promos, I think that is a lost trait in the overly scripted promo land that we live in now. It's, you know, Dusty just had that ability. And I think also, you know, you talk about all his friends turning on him. I think that was also partly due to him being the head booker, if I'm correct, mm-hmm. of that time. And so that way, you know, it kept him in the spotlight, which, you know, not necessarily a good thing about being the booker. But, yeah, Dusty just, he had so many memorable feuds, though, because of that, like. I mean, who can't relate to a friend turning on you and taking the spike and gouging out your eye?
Well, and you talk about the memorable feuds. Obviously, the Four Horsemen, who he inducted, we saw him induct the Horsemen into the Hall of Fame a few years ago. You know, I was always a WWF first. I was a wrestling fan first and foremost, but WWF was always at the top of my viewing. I would watch everybody, but I can remember watching WCW/, I guess it was still the NWA back then. It used to come on Saturday nights, and then WWF was on Sunday morning. So, you know, we got the best of both worlds. And this was growing up in St. Louis, and I would watch, and I can remember them showing the highlights or the match itself when Ric Flair wrestled Nikita Koloff inside a steel cage. And Flair was kind of, he was being cheered, even though he was still a heel, and Koloff, of course, was the mean, evil Russian who had Uncle Ivan, and I don't remember if Crusher Khrushchev was still there or not, but anyway, the match ends with the Russians all attacking Flair, and then all of a sudden, American Dream Dusty Rhodes comes out and chases off the Russians, and it's a weird, one of those weird moments where it's almost kind of like when Savage and Hogan are in the ring together for the first time as the Mega Powers start to form. And you think, oh my God, you know, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes are going to be tag team partners now, and they're going to be buddies. And then all of a sudden, you know, all hell breaks loose, and and I'm not sure if the Horsemen were officially the Horsemen at this point or not, but they jump in, and long story short, I think Flair puts the figure four on Dusty, and Arn or Tully jumps off the top rope, and they end up breaking Dusty's leg, and, you know, then it just, you know, led to all kinds of great matches with, you know, Magnum TA was still active, and it just led to all these great, you know, partnerships, the Road Warriors and the Rock and Roll Express and Dusty Rhodes, you know, taking on various forms of the Horsemen. It was great storytelling, and like you said, these unscripted promos where Dusty really was natural and was able to kind of tell it like it is.
Yeah, Definitely. I don't really have anything more to add to that. He's just, he was a, I think the other thing that, you know, when you talk about Dusty's naturalness and, you know, you talk about, kind of go with this, the charisma that he had, but I think the most interesting aspect about Dusty Rhodes becoming a star is, especially by today's standard, he didn't look like a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that thing. If Dusty Rhodes came along today, would he have been the star that he is?
There's a whole class of guys. I mean, if you go back to his early days when he teamed up with Dirty Dick Murdoch as the West Texas Rednecks, and, you know, you had Harley Race and the Briscoe. I mean, those guys, you know, today's standard has obviously changed, and I think that a lot of that has to do with Vince McMahon's influence, but, you know, I don't, it's a great question. Would Dusty have been a star today?
Well, and then you take, you know, factor in Vince McMahon. When Dusty went to WWF, instead of just bringing in Dusty Rhodes, you know, the Texas son of a plumber or whatever, we get polka dot Dusty Rhodes. And, you know, rumor is that that was a rib by Vince, and he didn't expect Dusty to get over. And Dusty, being Dusty, just went out there and gave it everything that he had. And unfortunately, you know, I think a lot of people probably remember that version of Dusty more just because of WWF's impact, global impact.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think, though, that he was... I know that people have said that was a rib, and it probably was, but I still feel like he was treated, when it came to the booking, you know, he had some pretty high-profile feuds.
He had high-profile feuds, but he never... Well, and I guess at the time that we're talking to, Hogan was still running wild.
Right.
So there was no real chance of another babyface getting a chance at the title.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had... This is an era where you had guys like Jake the Snake Roberts and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Dusty Rhodes. You know, they were all over, but none of them were going to win the title because, you know, again, this was the era of Hogan, and, you know...
And the era before they started decapitating the title, and everybody, whether they were over or not, gets a shot at being champion.
Right, and I do think I recall, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure, right after Rick Rude won the Intercontinental title, I want to say there was a Saturday Night's Main Event where Dusty wrestled Rude for the Intercontinental title, and it ended in a DQ or something. But I remember, you know, being excited when Dusty came to the WWF because obviously I was a WWF guy. And, you know, I felt like they kind of had him up on the upper part of the babyface side of things, you know, captaining a couple of different Survivor Series teams, feuding with Randy Savage. The match, probably the biggest highlight for Dusty in the WWF was the match at Mania with Sapphire against Sherry and mm-hmm. Macho Man, or Macho King. But it's hard for me to... I was wrapping my brain around this the other day. Dusty was the age at that time, mm-hmm. or about the age at that time, I might be a couple years off, that Dustin, Goldust, is now. And that just, to me, Dustin just, like, Dusty always seemed like, I don't want to say an old man, but he seemed, because he was my dad, and he was a few years older than my dad, but he was in my parents' age group, I guess. And you always view people, even when you become that person's age, because we're the age Dusty was. Chad and I now are about the age Dusty was when he first went to the WWF, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So it's kind of like, you know, it seems so weird, and I can't really explain it, but, you know, really that run in the WWF was his last big active run after he left WWF and went back to WCW and did some booking and stuff. He wrestled very sporadically.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what his last run in WCW was before becoming a commentator.
Well, when he went back to WCW, I don't think he really wrestled much at all. I remember in 94, he teamed up with Dustin and the Nasty Boys, and they did the feud with
Bunkhouse Buck
and Colonel Robert Parker's group. Yeah. They did a War Games match. I mean, that's the other thing about Dusty is he was kind of the inventor of War Games, which is something that a lot of fans, I think, at least the old school fans, would like to see come back.
Oh, definitely. And I think the logistics of doing a War Games for, you know, a WWE show, just because you're going to lose so much seating, which is going to take away profit.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one reason why they don't, but it's also, it was a WCW creation.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why WWE came up with Elimination Chamber, I believe, was to kind of put their own spin on the War Games.
Yeah, that was. I would say that that's a pretty fair assessment. The other thing that I didn't realize until I started doing a little more research for this show, when he came back in 2005 to WWE and did the Legends deal and then started doing some creative stuff and whatnot, I had forgotten he actually had a couple of matches. He was a part of that Legends Survivor Series team in 06, where it was him and Flair and Piper. No, I'm sorry. Flair, Ron Simmons, Sergeant Slaughter against the Spirit Squad. And in 2007, which I had completely forgotten about this, he actually wrestled Randy Orton in a bull rope match at the Great American Bash.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then that led to a mini feud with Cody and Randy Orton, and then eventually Cody joining Legacy. But, you know, even in that last, and I think that 07 match with Randy was the last on TV, on WWF or WWE match that he had. I know he left briefly and did some independent shows, actually wrestled Abdullah the Butcher with Mick Foley as the special guest referee is what I read. So, but even that last match with Randy Orton, you know, obviously he was slower and older. I mean, he was 61 years old when he had that match, and Randy Orton won because this was all part of that Legend Killer gimmick that he had going on, and you wouldn't expect anything less if you're, you know, trying to put over the young guy, and who better to beat in a bull rope match than the American Dream himself, so.
Well, and here's something that just, I've been racking my brain while we've been talking, thinking about this, is, you know, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, always worked as a face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of, Ric Flair has always said that Steamboat is not the greatest because he never worked heel. But I know Dusty in his early days worked as a heel, mm-hmm. but after becoming kind of the American Dream in the NWA, like, early 80s, other than when he joined the NWO because Swerve.
Right.
In the 90s, like, did Dusty ever work heel?
I don't, yeah, you're right. As you were leading into that, I was going to say just the NWO stint. And I mean, that was so random. Mm. And I don't think it was very long lived either. I think that they did it briefly and then he went back to being, you know, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a commentator during that whole time too, I think. So it wasn't like he was actually actively wrestling with the NWO.
Yeah, other than those early days, as the heel, I think that you're right. I think that he was one of those guys, and, you know, he was voted most popular wrestler in the After Mags for several times, and, you know, just one of those guys. You know, we talked about his physique and how he looked, and I mean, he acknowledged that, especially in that Hard Times promo. But I think that was the other thing that helped him connect with fans so well, is because we don't all look like, you know, a Triple H or a Randy Orton or a Batista. But Dusty Rhodes was every man. He, you know, you got the impression that he grew up during a hard, you know, pardon the comparison, hard times growing up, and you could relate to that. He was, he wore blue jeans and cowboy boots, and he talked funny, and he, you know, he had a big belly, and his hiney was big as if you will. So people, I think people are able to connect with that, kind of like when Austin was so red hot. You know, he hated the boss, and who doesn't, you know, not that I hate my boss, but, you know, who doesn't feel that, you know, that way towards people every once in a while. So Dusty was definitely, even more so, I think, than Hogan, could connect with fans on that personal level. Hogan was kind of this larger-than-life iconic figure, whereas Dusty, yeah, he's an icon by the work that he did, but at the time, you felt like he was just as you were. You didn't, you know, you could go and have a beer with Dusty Rhodes. You could walk up to him and have a conversation. Whereas with some of these other guys, they were so much larger than life.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he was just he was the common man. It's his theme song would tell you.
Do you have any other memories or thoughts of Dusty that you want to share before we start wrapping things up here, Chad?
I'm trying to think. I mean, the one image that keeps popping over my head is when he was commentating for WCW back around 97, 98, when the extreme influence started taking over, and when the Falls Count Anywhere matches happened and the Texas Tornado matches. And I just remember, you know, the match between Chris Benoit and Kevin Sullivan, where they brawled out through the stands and went into the bathroom, and just Dusty's commentary over that. And then there was a match with, I believe, Public Enemy, I want to say against the Nasty Boys, where it was just weapons galore, and Dusty just started laughing uncontrollably during, it was like the greatest thing he'd ever seen. I'm sure you can find clips on YouTube of this. But those are the moments where those are what stand out to me. Now, maybe it's just because over the years, those are like the things that message board people keep posting over and over. But mm-hmm. As we've discussed, I think Dusty was just definitely one of a kind. And as you quoted Captain Lou earlier, he will never be duplicated. I don't think... He is just in that echelon of the Hogans, the Flairs, Savages, these guys who kind of transcended wrestling. And even in today's wrestling landscape, and even with your John Cena's and your Batista's and I think to an extent, your Dwayne Johnson's, Dusty was just so much a iconic figure that he was bigger than the business. And I think that's one of the things that's really missing in wrestling today.
Yeah, definitely. Well said. And, you know, the other funny thing is, and I think it was the Sami Zayn post, he had talked about, you know, how somebody had said Dusty wasn't afraid to put himself over with the guys in the back and talking about, you know, his influence. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, he was bigger than the business. He helped mold and influence so many of the folks that you see today, or, you know, you've seen over the last 20 or 25 years. So he will definitely be missed. Chad, thanks for tuning in, for joining us for this special episode of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, a look back and some memories of the American Dream. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.